What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. This one's for you, Chanda. Oh, shit. Hey, what's up, friends? Welcome back. Hey. August 22nd is a pretty interesting day in history. On this day in 1911, the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre Museum in Paris. It was missing for 2 years, and finally, they found the thing in this creep Vincenzo's apartment. So they wiped it off and returned it to the museum. Now, keep in mind, this was before you could get those old Sears and Victoria's Secret catalogs. You had to do what you had to do back then. Well, that's true, boy. Nowadays, environmentalists just squirt tomato soup on it. Times sure have changed. Now, anyway, come on in, friend. Hey, if you've ever thought to yourself,
gee, I sure wish I could support CTFDN through some of these difficult times.
Well, we're running a little fundraiser right now to help make ends meet. If you're able to toss a couple of bucks our way, please visit helpchillin.org, which will take you straight to our GoFundMe. Or if you'd prefer ongoing support, you can visit our website at chillintalesfordarknights.com and sign up to become a patron there. Patrons get ad-free access to all the podcast episodes, and your support helps ensure we can keep creating content. So, tonight we again welcome author J.G. Martin by way of Velox Books.
Welcome back, J.G.
This one's a little cosmic horror and a little sci-fi. And it comes from his book, Crooked Gospels, which, of course, you can find on Velox Books. So, without further delay, from author J.G. Martin, I give you Judas. The military base doesn't exist. Not officially. It's a rusted-out corpse of abandoned hardware. A crumbling graveyard tucked away in the jungles of South America. It's lost. Forgotten. There isn't a single reason anybody should be here. Not one. And yet I have company. She's sitting across from me. Her eyes are squinting in the glare of the sunset, peering through the shattered window at a corroded hatch. It's an entrance. A doorway to an underground bunker that I found her lying next to an hour ago, barely breathing. Who are you? I ask. She doesn't answer. Her hands run across the purple bruises covering her forearms, and all I can think is the woman's a mess. Her blouse is torn. Her copper cheeks are flecked with red. I don't know if the blood belongs to her or somebody else, but I figure by the end of this, I'll have a pretty good idea. I'm not here to hurt you, I say. She meets my eyes with a hard stare. It's quiet, unyielding. She's not concerned who I am. And judging by the look in her eyes, she's running a series of probabilities. It's the black suit that does it, always. People see my suit, they see my briefcase, and their imagination spins into overdrive. I try another question. Anyone else here with you? A pause. her lips part like she's thinking of speaking before pressing shut again. Then she nods. The legs of her chair squeal as she rocks back and forth, giving motion to her anxiety. "How many?" I ask.
"Lots,"
she rasps, voice coarser than sandpaper.
"They're close. They know exactly where..."
I doubt that. The woman blinks, wide-eyed like I had just slapped her across the face. "If anybody was with you," I say, "chances are they're already dead. Jobs like these, they're typically bloodbaths. They're not the sort of place you expect to find survivors, much less survivors like you." Her lips become a thin line, defiant.
"And what's that supposed to mean?"
"Only that you look more ready for a safari than a slaughterhouse." My gaze travels from her running mascara to her cargo shorts, cataloging every scratch between. "I checked you for weapons before you woke up. You've got no guns, no ammo. The closest thing you've got to a sharp edge are your car keys."
"So?"
"So you don't belong in a place like this." She scoffs.
"And you do?"
"No," I tell her. "Nobody does." I heave a sigh, hefting my briefcase onto my lap. The clasps snap open, revealing a sea of documents, and I fish out a clipboard from within. It's covered in questions, the sort of questions whose answers are typically written in blood. "I'd like to chat if you don't mind."
"I'll pass."
She stands, swaying. The way she favors one leg tells me she's nursing a sprain, maybe worse.
"I'm out of here,"
she tells me. "Suit yourself." She throws me a glare that could curdle milk, then limps for the door. I watch her go. She makes it to the threshold, even twists the knob before freezing. "Something wrong?" I ask.
"Just figured you'd try to stop me, cuff me to a pipe or something."
"Wouldn't see the point," I say simply. "You aren't going to leave." The corner of her mouth twitches.
"Excuse me?"
"It's like this," I say, my eyes tangling with hers. "You know better than I do what's out there, so go ahead. Walk out that door if you think you're safer outside. I won't try to stop you." Her expression cracks, almost crumbles, but then she finds her stubborn courage all over again. Twist the knob. The door opens with a whine. The woman looks out across a burial ground of rusted Humvees smoldering in the tropical sunset. Weeds lurch up from cracks in the pavement. Every last structure is crumbling, an apocalyptic caricature of what it once was. All of it's dead, withering. A great and unnatural sound rips through the stillness, like a thousand nails dragging down a chalkboard. It echoes across the abandoned base, a twisted electronic wail that sets my teeth on edge. Maria slams the door shut, her fingers fumbling with the lock. She turns to me, her back pressed against the weathered wood, her entire body trembling. In her eyes, I see a reflection of my own unease, a shared understanding that we're not alone out here.
"What the fuck is going on here?"
she demands, her voice trembling. "That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?" Her eyes narrow, fingernails digging into the wood. I fish my badge out of my jacket and slide it across the floor to her. "There you go. Everything you need to know about me. I'm with the facility, investigating a series of disappearances linked to this compound." She studies the badge, eyes darting across the laminate.
"The facility?"
"We're a shadow contractor," I explain. "That means the less people know about us, the easier it is to do our work." She stalks back to her chair, eyes narrowed.
"And what is that work?"
events.
That's supposed to mean something?
Not to you. Point is, I'm the one you call when the things that go bump in the night actually do. Think monsters, entities. My job is to hunt these things, capture them if I can. Laughter touches her lips.
You expect me to believe that?
I don't expect you to believe anything. You asked a question and I answered it. That's typically how conversations go. All I ask is you return the favor. Now, you saw something in that bunker, and I'd like to know what it was. Her eyes dart to the shattered window, to the corroded hatch rising from the dirt.
Who says I was even in the bunker?
You do, I tell her simply, pulling out a pack of smokes. It's written on your bruises, your cuts. I see it in the way you keep stealing glances toward the entrance, with the sort of haunted look that only somebody like me could understand.
Somebody like you?
She says quietly. I nod, slipping a cigarette between my lips. I killed my father, I tell her, pocketing my lighter and sucking back a lungful of nicotine. Happened when I was 7 years old. A shadow woke me up. Some tall man with two faces and no eyes asked me what my favorite nightmare was. Her gaze turned stony. I keep talking. Being the stupid shit of a kid I was, I screamed. Top of my lungs, I screamed. And you know who came running in without a second's hesitation? I feel something well up in my throat, and I press the cigarette firmer to my lips. Inhale harder. Blow out a dark plume. My dear old dad. He came charging in, and I scrambled my ass right under that bed. Cowering. Trembling. The woman leans forward, expression painted with sympathy. I watched the tall man lift my dad up to the ceiling, I say, trying to keep my voice even. It turned to me and smiled, saying, I've got just a nightmare for you, kiddo. And do you know what it did? She shakes her head slowly, like she's dreading the answer. It tore my dad in two, I tell her. Right down the middle, like he was made of paper fucking mache. I burned a cigarette down to the filter. Then I keep going until I feel my lungs catch fire. Truth be told, I hate this story. I hate it more than anything else in the entire world, and if I had it my way, I'd bury it and never think of it again. But in moments like these, it's the most valuable history I own. Even now, it's working its black magic. I watch the woman's posture shift. Her shoulders slumping forward in horrified disbelief, her eyes welling with tears. She's doing the human thing, empathizing, and that's exactly what I'm going to use to take what I need from her. And there she goes again, staring at that bunker. She's wearing the expression of a woman who's lost between a nightmare and a daydream, who wants nothing more than to wake up from both. My name's Carter, I tell her. What's yours? She takes a breath, sharp as a knife's edge. Her eyes dissect me one final time, weighing the risk.
Maria,
she says finally.
My name's Maria.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Maria. I'm gonna have to insist that you tell me what you saw in that bunker. It's important. Her hands shift nervously in her lap.
You said that you hunted monsters.
That's right.
Well, what about demons?
I arch an eyebrow. What about them?
Are they real?
Depends who you ask. You saying you saw one down there?
I don't know,
she says, voice taut as a wire.
Maybe not a demon, but something like it.
She pauses, fingernails scraping into her shorts.
I think I saw the devil down there. Satan himself.
Satan? I whistle low. Now that'd be something.
I knew it,
she mutters, rising from her seat.
You think I'm a lunatic. I knew you wouldn't.
Slow down, I say. I don't think you're a lunatic. Not yet. Those disappearances I mentioned earlier. They're strange, Maria. Atypical. It's not people that are going missing, but monsters. She settles back in her chair, eyes widening.
Monsters?
I gesture to the fractured window, to the rotten carcass of the base beyond. This place is the Bermuda Triangle for boogeymen. Entities are being drawn here, but as soon as they cross the perimeter, they vanish. Drop off every last sensor we've got. And I'm not talking about Saturday night ankle snatchers either. I'm talking about heavy hitters. Nightmare fuel. The kind of monsters that we can't destroy, much less contain. She shrinks in her seat.
And you think all that's connected to what I saw?
Maybe. Maybe not. Won't know till I get the full picture. She swallows hard.
Get me out of this hellhole, and I'll tell you whatever you want.
Unfortunately, I say, even a sigh, that's not possible. We've got to do this here and now, preferably before sundown.
Why?
She demands. I take a moment to think hard about how much I want to traumatize the woman. A little, certainly. Some fear is always good. It's motivating, energizing. But too much of it and you get panic. And panic is messy. Panic is unpredictable. Here's the thing, I begin, choosing my words with care. Entities. Monsters. These things have common characteristics, Maria. One being that they're more active at nightfall. The other is that they have a habit of imprinting themselves on individuals, tracking them, marking them.
You're saying that I've been marked? That it's going to come back for me?
Her voice is quivering. I'm saying that if it does, I need to understand what we're up against. And to do that, I need your story. So talk while the daylight's still on our side. She rakes a hand through her hair, frantic.
Let me think. It started a couple of weeks back, I guess. A reader sent in a tip about this place.
Slow down. A reader?
Right. Sorry. I'm a journalist for an online paper. We chase tips, usually political dirt. But this one, it was different.
Your tipster have a name?
Arlo.
Last name? She shakes her head.
Didn't give one.
Good enough. I scratch it onto the page.
Arlo claims he'd been hearing screams.
She continues, words tumbling out.
His whole village had, echoing from the jungle. Military convoys were sneaking through at night, their headlights off. All heading up some forgotten road. Arlo knew where it led, though. Up to an old base, one with a history of experiments.
I look up from my clipboard. Experiments?
Human ones.
She croaks.
Genetic horrors. DNA splicing. A grab bag of the most unethical shit you can imagine.
And how'd Arlo get read into something like that?
He worked there.
She explains.
Years ago, during the Cold War.
My pen scratches at my clipboard, pages crinkling as I fill in a dozen different fields. The nearest village is 12 miles out, I say. How'd Arlo hear screams from this base?
That's the thing.
Her voice drops, thick with unease.
The screams weren't coming from the base, but the jungle itself. Arlo said they sounded just like they did in the old days. The screams, I mean. Guttural. Inhuman. The kind of sounds only mutilated throats could make.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He claimed they were test subjects set loose in the wild.
Set loose? The pen nearly slips from my fingers.
Guess so. He said they'd released the guinea pigs, then sent out the more advanced models to hunt them down.
For what purpose?
Food,
she says, her voice as cold as a mortuary slab. I know on my pen, tasting plastic and dread. Tell me more about Arlo. How old was he?
70, maybe.
She wrinkles her nose.
He was fit, but weathered.
Weathered how?
Like life had put him through the ringer. Leathery skin, half his teeth gone. His hair was a tangled mess. And I'm pretty sure I saw lice crawling in his beard.
She shudders.
And his eyes. God, his eyes.
Describe them.
Well, they were pale. Paler than the moon. And they'd pulse, swear to God. They'd bulge out of his skull like they were trying to escape. It was freakish.
Cataracts, not altogether uncommon for a man of Arlo's age. And that hatch, I mutter, nodding toward the bunker's rusted maw. I'm guessing that's how you and Arlo got inside? A nod. Walk me through it. What's down there? Maria's brow furrows, eyes unfocusing as she dredges up the memory.
It was narrow. Like this metal throat descending into darkness that seemed to stretch forever. Arlo said we'd find what we needed below. Evidence to blow the whole conspiracy wide open.
What condition was the bunker in? Arlo made it sound operational.
Not even close,
she says, shaking her head.
It was a tomb. Looked like it had been abandoned since the 70s. Moss crept up the walls and the ladder rattled with every step we took. The whole place was a death trap. Every time I put my foot down, I half expected the rung to snap.
I kept scribbling, lost in my thoughts. One would think Arlo would clue in that the bunker wasn't fit for operation. But then Arlo's description doesn't strike me as a man altogether there. Add the pale eyes, a borderline feral demeanor, and I can't help but wonder if Arlo wasn't so much an employee of the program as he was a product of it. Maria continues, pulling me back into her story.
50 feet down, we hit the catwalks. Dozens of them. They sprawled out from the ladder like a metal spider web, each leading to a different level, a different entrance.
She pauses, a tremor running through her. When she speaks again, her words are barely audible.
The entrances were welded shut, Carter. Every last one. It's like they were desperate to keep something in. Something they couldn't risk getting out.
Then how'd you get inside? I ask.
We found an entrance that was different. It sat at the bottom of the ladder, half drowned in rainwater. We waded through, the flooding up to our knees and...
And? Her fingers curled.
It was ripped open.
She breathes.
The entrance was torn apart, like something had clawed its way out, peeled the steel back like it was tinfoil. We're talking inches of hardened metal here. Enough to shrug off a nuclear blast. I mean, Christ. What could do something like that?
For the first time, real fear slithers through my veins. It's cold, insidious. If what she's describing is true, then there are two, maybe three entities with that capability, all of which are impossibly violent. Official protocol is to avoid contact at all costs. If contact is made, then policy dictates the elimination of all witnesses to ensure the preservation of social order. I look at Maria, really look at her. Bruised, bloodied, cradling what's likely a fractured arm. She's already been through hell. I wonder if I'll have the stomach to put her out of her misery if it comes to it. The door, I say, fighting to keep my voice steady. Arlo worked there. What did he make of the damage to it? She gives a bitter snort.
Said it was explosives. He claimed the military blasted their way in a few months back to reboot their little science fair. But that was bullshit. The door was warped outward, not in. And there wasn't a hint of blast damage anywhere. I called him on it. Of course I did. But Arlo just changed the subject. Asked if I had any skeletons in my closet. Asked me if I'd ever hurt people, or considered it, and...
My pen pauses on the page. Hold on. He asked if you had hurt people? Why?
I don't know,
she says.
Arlo had demons in his past, given his work at the base. I figured maybe he was looking to start a conversation. Hoping we could forgive each other for our sins, sort of thing.
She shakes her head.
It doesn't matter. He dropped the subject pretty quick once he realized I didn't bring anything for show and tell.
I see, I murmur. I'm guessing he led you through that mangled entrance then? Maria nods.
The passage beyond it was pitch black. We sloshed through endless corridors. Our headlamps throwing twisted shadows on the walls. It felt wrong, though. Even then, it was like we weren't alone down there. Like something was watching us from the gloom.
My skin prickles. Did it still seem abandoned at that point? Non-operational?
Definitely,
she says.
The whole place was a time capsule. The rooms were full of ancient magazines, peeling posters, and little relics that had to be half a century old. Some floated past us in the water, others sat on moldy tables. I fished through some filing cabinets and found old lockets, even a few wedding rings, alongside piles of classified documents.
Her teeth find the lip, a distant look in her eyes.
It seemed... strange, you know, that they'd just leave all of that stuff behind.
Yes, I think, unless they needed to get out in a hurry. Was the whole bunker flooded?
No. Before long, we climbed out of the water into a new chamber. This one was dry, but...
A violent shiver racks her frame.
Claustrophobic. Narrow. All along the concrete walls were dark streaks of paint. The air was musty, rancid. And when we turned the corner...
She stops, her face draining of color. A beat passes. Her voice, when she finds it again, is hoarse.
Something crunched under my foot,
she tells me.
Bones. Piles of them, a foot deep or more. It looked like they had died clawing over each other, desperate to escape something. That's when I realized the streaks along the walls weren't paint. They were blood, old and browned.
My heart pounds. Could this be evidence of Arlo's claims? Were the bones... mutated at all? Maria offers a slow nod.
Some worse than others, One skull looked human, maybe, but its jaw was elongated, almost like a horse. A single twisted horn curved out of its forehead. Another was flat, square. It looked like somebody had rolled a person's head under a tractor. But it had dozens of eye sockets, multiple mouths.
Maria gags. Looks like she might be sick from the memory. And I'm feeling a little queasy myself, but for an entirely different reason. Outside, we're losing daylight. Night is fast approaching, and I'm worried it might be bringing something that I'm not yet ready to deal with. Something violent. Deadly. "And Arlo?" I croak, choking down my dread. "What did he say after showing you that evidence?"
"He asked me how it made me feel."
I blink. "How it made you feel?" Maria sucks back a breath, her voice beginning to shake.
"Yeah, he picked one up. Another skull. But where the mouth should have been were these mandibles, like a wasp or an ant."
She pauses, twisting with discomfort.
"Arlo's eyes, they bulged, glowed in the dark, I swear to Christ. Then he shoved the skull in my face, asked me how it made me feel."
Her voice plummets.
"He pressed me against the wall hard. His breath smelled like rot, decay. Then he started rubbing the skull against my cheeks, panting like an animal. And I freaked out, shoved him backwards. He came back at me, so I took a swing at him. Caught him right across the jaw and he dropped, spitting out a mouthful of blood."
I narrow my eyes. "Did he get the message?"
"He got a message, just not the one I was trying to send."
Maria gets up from her chair, hands pumping in and out of fists, starts to pace. It's like she's too full of nervous energy to sit in one place, and I can relate.
"Arlo started acting like a lunatic after that, babbling. He kept alternating between crying and shrieking, shouting that I was cruel and evil, a monster. Then he'd collapse, curl into a ball and start crying like an infant."
"Bizarre," she scoffs.
"Yeah, you're telling me. It was the weirdest thing. None of it felt real though, you know? It felt more like an act, a performance. Like he was putting on a show and..."
Realization dawns in her eyes.
"Oh, God. And maybe he was."
"What do you mean?" I ask.
"We heard the sound after, like, right after. A clang. It ran through the tunnels, then it kept ringing. Almost like something heavy was coming down the ladder. That long one, back at the entrance. Arlo stopped crying. He shot up, grabbed my hand and started raving, saying the military commandos were here and we needed to hide. Said he knew a place they wouldn't find us."
"And where'd he take you?"
I'm not sure exactly,"
Maria says, running a hand through her hair.
"We fled down passages that twisted and turned like a labyrinth. At that point, I had no idea where we were. No idea how to find my way back. He was my lifeline. My only shot. But the whole time..."
She shivers.
"I heard something rumbling in the dark."
"Something?" I echo.
"It wasn't the commandos,"
she tells me.
"It wasn't even... alive. It sounded artificial, electronic, like feedback from a microphone. 1,000 times worse. It was just like the howl we heard earlier when..."
"When you opened the door," I say, my jaw tensing. I glance down at my clipboard, mind whirring. That howl. The honest truth is, I've never heard anything like it. Not in my entire career. It doesn't match a single entity in the facility's database. It's a genuine anomaly, an unknown quantity that worries me more than... My pen cracks in my grip. Christ, am I actually scared?
Is everything okay, Carter?
Maria, I look up and she's staring at me with doe-eyed concern. Her auburn hair plastered to her forehead with sweat and blood.
You kinda zoned out there for a second and...
I'm fine. I lie, loosening my tie with a shuddering breath. Just having some trouble acclimating to the heat, I think. It'll pass, I'm sure. Please, continue your story. She studies me for a moment, gives me the sort of look you give a kid that just had a nightmare, then pushes on.
Arlo and I ran,
she says.
He brought me to a room that made the last corridor smell like a rose garden. It was wide, shaped like a pentagon. Machine gun barrels poked out from slots in the concrete walls. Written between them were the words.
Her voice trails off. Maria tries to finish her thought, but it comes out as a sob. She drops her face into her hands and tears come out like a torrent, messy and loud. I want to give her time, but time's the one thing we don't have. Outside, the sun is missing. It's gone. Vanished beneath the horizon. The last scraps of daylight are making crooked shadows of the tree line, spilling them across the base like decrepit fingers, reaching hungrily toward us. My eyes find my clipboard. I scan my notes, desperate for a clue, hoping I might have missed something, but my writing's a mess. It's uneven, hardly legible. My hand's been shaking, shaking like it was the night I saw my father.
Sector 5.
Maria chokes out. I glance up at her.
The words on the wall in the room,
she says, wiping tears from her eyes, recomposing herself.
They said Sector 5. Feeding trough.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Words. Is she really getting this worked up over stupid words?
They were food,
she says quietly.
All the corpses in that room were food. The bodies were everywhere, scorched, half devoured. They were rotting away with maggots born out of their skin and, oh God, some of them looked fresh. Like I could still smell the copper in the air. Could still hear the wet slap of blood with every step I took.
Her eyes slide downward, gazing at the red stains painting her boots. What did they look like? I ask. Were the bodies mutated? Human? Maria wrinkles her nose, thinks on it for a moment.
You mentioned missing monsters earlier? Boogeymen?
My heart skips a beat. What about them?
Well,
she breathes.
I think I found them.
I draw back, and it's my turn to go pale with shock. Puzzle pieces begin to connect in my mind, building a picture that I'm not sure I want to see. How can you be sure? I demand, desperation creeping into my tone. What if they were just more of the same test subjects like the others?
No, these were different,
Maria says.
Horrifying in ways the others couldn't compare to. It was like looking at a mannequin or a doll. What's that phrase?
Uncanny Valley, I supply, my mouth dry.
Exactly. It was like they didn't have a soul. Like they never had a soul. Some looked human, nearly. Only they were too tall, or their limbs were too long, or they had too many teeth in all the wrong places.
Her expression darkens.
But the worst part was that something had slaughtered those things. Ripped literal nightmares to pieces. And I knew there was a good chance it was coming to do the same to Arlo and I.
Arlo, I mutter. If you'd been to Section 5 before, then he must have known about that graveyard. Those bodies didn't appear overnight. She nods, lips tight with disdain.
He knew. The bastard knew everything. He shoved me into that pile of corpses and told me as much. He started raving, calling me evil, twisted, a monster all over again. He kept pointing at me like all of this was my fault, like he hadn't just led both of us to our deaths.
Her voice breaks.
All the while that thing howled in the darkness, its footsteps rumbling towards us. I felt terrified. Hopeless. I kept asking Arlo, why me? Why go through all this trouble just to kill me?
She chokes back a sob.
But he said he didn't have a choice. He knelt next to me, put a hand on my cheek and whispered that his child needed to feed. Told me it was getting hungry. Desperate. He almost looked fucking remorseful, if you can believe it.
Tears trickled down Maria's cheeks.
I had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I didn't know how to get out of that bunker. Didn't even have a working headlamp. So I just lay there in that heap of monsters, quietly sobbing. The footsteps got closer. The nearer they came, the slower they moved. It was like that creature knew I was trapped, like it had done this before. And knew it could take its time.
Did you see it? I press, pen poised against the clipboard. She cradles herself in her arms, shivers.
Yes. It was tall. Nothing but a flickering shadow. And it pulsed, vibrated. The way it moved was jerky, haphazard. Almost like it had one foot in our reality. Glitching in and out of existence.
Glitching, I mutter. The word tugs at a memory. Something I can't quite grasp.
And its eyes.
Maria whispers, shrinking into herself.
It had these amber eyes. Bright and gleaming. Like twin cinders smoldering in empty space. It felt like they were piercing me. Like its eyes were digging through my skin and looking into my mind, my soul. It felt like it was taking bites out of my memories, tasting them before spitting them back out.
My clipboard trembles on my lap, my whole body awash with dread. Was it painful? I ask.
No,
she says, her eyes unfocused.
It was cold. Just cold. Like a blizzard tearing through my mind. Freezing every thought to a crawl. Maybe that's why I didn't run. I just sat there, numb, watching as the shadow passed through the concrete pillars like they were mist.
She grips her knees, shaking her head.
It was almost human, whatever it was. Two arms, two legs, a head. But its body. Jesus. Its body was pure static, Carter. Like TV interference.
TV interference. The phrase shakes something loose in my mind. Some half-remembered case file. I flip frantically through my clipboard, stopping at a page labeled Aberrant Events. The facility's very own most wanted list. My eyes scan the entries, but nothing matches. Nothing even comes close. A thought hits me. Your cuts and bruises, were they the work of this shadow? Maria glances at her arms, at the gashes crusting with dried blood and the swollen bruising.
No,
she tells me.
I picked these up running through the bunker.
And there it is. The first clue I've landed on all night. Of course the shadow wouldn't bother with Maria. Not while it already had another, far richer meal available.
It walked past me,
she continues.
It walked through all that mulch of corpses and headed straight for Arlo. And it started speaking.
Speaking?
Remember that howl I mentioned earlier?
Sure.
Well, this time it was hissing. Like a live wire or static electricity. Whatever it was saying, Arlo wasn't a fan. He started weeping, pleading with it. He kept swearing that he had done his best, and there was nothing else out there, so the shadow would have to make do with me.
Her voice catches.
But the shadow didn't care. It grabbed Arlo by his hair, lifted him to the ceiling, and its eyes, those cinder-light eyes, they blazed an angry orange.
My heart pounds like a war drum. And what did it do to him?
What do you think?
She says darkly.
Arlo thrashed in its grip, screamed. He begged me to help. Said I'd be next if I didn't. She's a monster, he kept shouting over and over. But then his voice collapsed in his throat, turned into this choking gurgle as the shadow's eyes flashed red. And Arlo, Christ Almighty, Arlo started to gurgle, moan. His face started to wrinkle, melting into his skull, and...
Maria takes a deep shuddering breath, starts to pace. Her cheeks are blotchy with tears. Her fingers anxiously picking at the hem of her blouse like she's trying to walk off the memory. Finally, she stops at the window, looks out across the darkened base, out toward that rusty hatch in the dirt. Is she feeling it, I wonder? That rumbling beneath our feet? That slow funeral march of an approaching nightmare? It almost feels like the ticking of a clock. And I can't help but think it's a fitting metaphor for our bleak situation. Maria, I press. It's critical I get these details.
The shadow held Arlo there,
she rasps.
His legs twitching, his face dripping into his shirt, and then...
Maria brings a hand to her mouth, starts chewing her nails to the bit.
It tore his head clean off. Like a bottle cap. It lifted Arlo's head to its amber eyes, opened its mouth and screamed fire at him. The heat was like standing at the gates of hell.
My pen flies across the page, sweat dripping down my brow. It's hard to miss now, the rumbling thumb, thumb. Like a giant walking beneath the earth, quaking the ground with its every footfall.
Do you feel that?
Maria whispers, face contorting in horror.
I feel...
Footsteps, I hiss. Yes, of course I do. Whatever you saw down there is coming, Maria. And unless you stop veering off, I'm not going to be able to save us. Finish your story. She nods, frantic.
Right. Right. These tendrils burst from the shadow like limbs, and they cracked Arlo's skull like an egg. The shadow reached inside, pulled out his brain, and then brought it into itself. His fucking brain garter. Like it was assimilating him or...
Devouring him, I offer. Her fingers clutched the edge of the window, monitoring the bunker with growing dread.
Now do you get it?
She asks.
Now do you see why I called it the devil? I mean, what else could do something like that?
A good question. A terrifying one. If what Marie is describing is accurate, then I can think of a single entity that fits the bill. Just one, though. If I'm right, then we'll probably live to see daybreak. But if I'm wrong, well, some nightmares are better left unspoken. My fingers brush the warm steel of the Glock on my hip, and I wonder if I'll have the courage to do what's necessary if the time comes. After it killed Arlo, what did it do to you? I ask.
It glared at me,
she whispers.
Another blizzard washed over my mind. It turned my thoughts into ice cubes. Made me go rigid with shock and then I blacked out.
Wait, I say, lowering my pen. If you blacked out down there and didn't know the way out, then how'd you escape? She leans her shoulder against the wall, heaves a sigh.
That's just it. I couldn't tell you. One second I'm in that chamber of corpses and the next I'm outside with you dumping water on my face. That's it. Everything I remember.
I grip a fistful of my hair, staring down at the mess of words on my clipboard. Frustration boils inside of me. I was close. This bloody close to finishing the puzzle, to saving our lives, only to be stonewalled by her amnesia and... Hang on. A smile crosses my face. Memories thread together in my mind, and all at once I'm getting the full picture. The blackout. The blizzard in her skull. All of it starting to add up, and I finally know beyond a shadow of a doubt what we're dealing with here. Yes. It's so obvious. Has been since the start, if only I...
Police!
I blink. Maria standing in front of me, her expression urgent.
I've got to tell the cops about Arlo,
she says.
Tell them about the bunker. There could still be others down there. Victims. Maybe some still alive. We need to form search parties and...
We're not talking to the police, I tell her flatly. And I wouldn't worry about the victims either. She gapes at me, stunned.
I don't understand.
It's simple, I say, rising from my seat. The cops won't have any record of Arlo. Sure, you can tell them what you saw down there, but they'll likely put a bullet in your head for your trouble. I fish out my lighter, flick the wheel. A flame dances to life. Arlo doesn't exist, Maria. Neither does this base. Neither do you. I touch the flame to my clipboard, and the paper catches, curling with smoldering hunger.
The hell are you doing?
Maria exclaims. Saving your life. I drop the clipboard with a clatter. It pops and cracks as the flames eat her story, one word at a time.
But you said you believed me.
And I do, I tell her. That's the whole problem. An hour ago, I was still in the dark on this whole thing, but the more you talked, the clearer it became. You and Arlo stumbled onto something real here, Maria. A genuine conspiracy. A real cover-up.
Then the people need to know.
They do, I confess. And they will eventually. But not from you and not from my report either. She shakes her head.
Then how?
I stalk past her to the window, resting my palms against the sill. The air's thick, humid with jungle heat. I'll find a way. I always do. Maria studies me, glaring hard enough I can feel it on the back of my neck. Then she asks the obvious question.
It's your employer, isn't it? The facilities behind all this. The cover-up, the experiments, the...
Yes, I tell her. I suspect it is. She joins me at the window. We stare out into the darkness, at the steel hatch rising from the earth, where a devil made flesh is inching ever closer.
I thought your job was hunting monsters,
she said coldly.
Not making them.
My job is a lot of things. More than anything else, it's complicated. The facility is, well, it's not what I'd call a good organization, Maria. Or even a moral one.
Then what is it?
I weigh my words carefully. A pragmatic answer to an otherwise ugly question. How does one save our species from a force so twisted it defies all language?
I'm not sure I understand where this is going.
Something is coming for this world, Maria. Something vast and twisted. A nightmare born from the coldest corners of the furthest reaches of space. It's cruel, unfathomable, hungry. My job, the facility's job, is hunting monsters. Capturing those we can, not to study them or rehabilitate them, but to use them, to wield them. I heave a sigh, tasting guilt on my tongue. We're drafting these creatures into an army, Maria, using them to fight back against that cosmic force, that great evil coming our way.
What is it exactly?
We don't know. Theories range from an elder god to a kind of misaligned consciousness from a higher dimension. Whatever it is, we call it the Entity.
Okay. I'm still not sure what any of that has to do with this base, though.
This base was the result of that entity, a response to it. In those days, the facility couldn't be certain how much time we had. Only that the entity was coming, and that it was hungry. Fear made them desperate. They greenlit anything that might save us, or so the rumors go.
Rumors?
I nod grimly. Few records exist of the facility's activities during the Cold War. Most documents were destroyed. Those that remain are buried under redactions. I wasn't around then, obviously, but I picked up bits and pieces from old-timers I worked with. They'd talk about black projects in passing, hidden programs. One project was infamous, so much so that even now, half a century later, the facility hasn't entirely snuffed out its legend. She stares at me, her expression unreadable in the gloom.
What project?
Judas. I say, the word heavy on my tongue. Project Judas was helmed by a biochemist, a brilliant man named Arlogen Screech. The project's aim was to create a weapon, a life form that could assimilate targets into its being, absorbing their capabilities. Such a function would provide it with near limitless potential. The problem was, steel rattles. It's coming from out there, at the bunker. There's a groan of warping metal, like the rungs of a ladder slumping beneath the weight of something titanic. And I know that the devil is climbing out of hell.
It's here,
Maria whimpers, gripping my arm. She pulls at me, but I'm rooted in place. My eyes are focused, locked on the bunker hatch bathed in moonlight. There's a whine of hinges, a snap of bolts. The hatch swings open with a dull clang, and Maria stumbles backwards in stammering horror. I watch, full of morbid wonder, as a dark shape lurches out from below. It buzzes, crackles like living static. Cinders glow in its face. Twin eyes in a void of nothing. The shadow twists as if scanning the base, emitting a low digital hum.
Oh my God,
Maria cries.
This can't be. Not again.
The creature sees us. It sees me. It takes a shambling step, kicking up dust, and its eyes flare, blazing with the threat of annihilation. Maria keeps pleading, keeps begging me to run, but I hardly notice she's there. This monster, this is why I've come here tonight. I know it is. The shadow takes another step. Its eyes burn brighter, hotter as crimson lashes from their edges like tears of lava. And all at once, I feel what Maria described. I feel it pouring into my mind like ice water. I feel it rifling through my thoughts, chewing up my memories and spitting them back out. But I don't resist it. Instead, I breathe deep and invite it deeper within. Go ahead, I think. Have your fill. And like a passing breeze, the cold soon begins to fade. The shadow holds my gaze, its eyes dim into embers once more. Satisfied, it looks skyward. Its body begins to flicker, glowing with cathode radiance. And then, 6 wings burst from its back in a shower of obsidian static.
How are you going to kill that thing?
Maria hisses. I'm not, I tell her. The shadow belts one final distorted cry before launching into the air like a streak of midnight. 3 wing beats, and it vanishes beyond the clouds.
No,
she mutters, staring at the empty sky.
You let it escape. Are you insane? It's going to cause a massacre out there.
Yes, I say. I certainly hope so. She rounds on me, fury and confusion warring in her eyes.
But you said you hunted these things. What gives? Are you just lousy at your job or what?
Project Judas had a directive, I say calmly. A specific one. Its task was to assimilate hostile entities, to annihilate monsters and boogeymen, and ensure the survival of humanity. Simply put, it was never made to hurt people like you and me. And after everything you've told me, I'm not convinced it even can. She gapes at me.
Were you even listening? I found a fucking graveyard down there, Carter. It burned Arlo's skull into a crisp, cracked it open, and ate his brains. I don't care what it was designed for. I watched it kill a person right in front of me.
Did you? I pick up my briefcase, giving my ashen clipboard a final farewell glance. From everything you described, I question whether Arlo was a man at all by the time you crossed paths. If he really was Arlogen Screech, and I think he was, then it's said he's conducted more than a few experiments on himself. The glowing eyes? I've never met a human with a set of those, have you?
Maybe not, but...
Arlo never brought you here for an exposé, Maria. He brought you here to kill you. That was always the plan. She blinks, stunned.
No, that can't...
It's like this, I tell her. All those missing monsters I was looking for? The strange disappearances and absentee urban legends? They were being lured by Arlo. He was feeding his child a steady supply of anomalies and aberrations, just enough to keep it from entering hibernation. But then he ran out. That's why he pulled you in, hungry, ambitious, willing to do anything for a career-defining story. Thought you'd be an easy mark, and he was right. Maria's shaking her head, but I can see in her eyes she doesn't believe her own skepticism. I press forward. Arlo figured he could do a little creative twisting of the narrative down there. Coax you into attacking him, maybe, and then use that violence to convince Judas you were food. You said he kept calling you evil, vile, monstrous, almost like it was a performance. Well, I don't think that was a coincidence. I turned away from her. Unfortunately for Arlo, he misunderstood his own creation. Project Judas wasn't designed to harm humans, Maria. Never. It went against its core directive. In that moment, when Arlo offered you as a sacrifice, a switch flipped in Judas that made it realize Arlo had crossed the threshold and had become a monster himself. She's quiet. It's a lot to throw at somebody, so I let her have some time with her thoughts as we make our way to the door. I twist the knob. It opens with a rusty whine, and this time Maria doesn't go rigid with fear, doesn't start to tremor with anxiety.
You really think Arlo was that Screech guy?
She murmurs. I shrug. Hard to say. It's not as if he's got any dental records left to check. But based on what you've told me tonight, I'm inclined to think so. Seems like Screech couldn't let his project go. We carve a path toward my SUV, gleaming back against the backdrop of ancient Humvees.
I don't get it,
Maria says, circling around to the passenger door.
If Judas is as good as you say, then why'd the facility lock it up down there?
Because there was a whole lot more than Judas in that bunker, wasn't there? You mentioned legions of bones, mutated creatures. I heave a sigh, cracking the door and clambering into the driver's seat. Chances are the facility of yesteryear figured it'd be easier to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just seal the whole bunker as a matter of convenience. Then they purged every last record of that base, wiped their hands of it. Maria gets inside, closes the door with a dull thump, and takes a deep breath.
By the way, thanks for not killing me back there.
Don't mention it. I twist the keys in the ignition and the vehicle rumbles to life.
So what do we do now? About Judas or whatever?
Nothing, I say, pulling away from the ruins. As far as I'm concerned, that creature isn't a monster. And that means it's not my problem. The SUV rattles as we turn onto the uneven jungle road. Maria twists in her seat. She looks back through the rear window as her worst memory falls further and further behind us.
If it's not a monster, what is it?
Words drift around in my head. Definitions. I'm trying to figure out how to explain what it is that she and I witnessed. What it is that more people will see in the coming weeks. I'm trying to think of a way to tell Maria that whatever that thing was, she doesn't need to be afraid of it. None of us do. I open my mouth to reply, but I'm interrupted by a discordant howl. Something distant, shrill. I squint up through the canopy of passing vines, and there, soaring through the sky above us, is a dark speck against the moon-washed clouds. But I know if it were closer, I'd see a shadow with six wings, cinder-light eyes, and a body of black static. I'd see a guardian angel, one with plenty of work to do. And that was Judas by J.G. Martin. A good reminder that not all monsters are so bad, as long as they're on your side anyway. A little about the author. J.G. Martin writes about monsters and the things they get up to when we ain't looking. He currently resides in British Columbia with his cat Opie and dreams of someday owning a secret lair behind the bookshelf. Good luck with that one. This one's from his book Crooked Gospels, which you can find at VeloxBooks.com and on Audible.com. Thanks, J.G.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillinTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till next week. I'd like to shout out our friend Larry, who's preparing for a certain competition you may or may not be expecting. Good luck, Larry, and thanks for all the support. So grab a drink for the road, friend, and may the wind be at your back. May the road rise up to meet you. I'll see you all next week. And as always, go fuck yourselves. 4 years later and it's still funny. Good night, y'all.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.